Thanks for tuning into Heavy, where we bring you the latest interviews with local, national and international artists. Today's victim is...
This is Dave Faulkner from the Hoodoo Gurus.
Dave, how you going, mate? It's Chris here.
Hey, Chris, I'm going well, mate. Good to speak to you.
Yeah,
and see you.
Always a pleasure to see you, brother. So, here today, mate, to talk, of course, about your upcoming tour. So the Hoodoo Gurus are heading out to celebrate your 40th anniversary in a few short weeks, starting in Brisbane on September 13th. Before going through Sydney, Melbourne, Hobart, Adelaide, and finishing in Perth on September 23rd. So just got to let that sink in for a minute, mate. Like 40 years. That's incredible.
I know. It's hard to kind of fathom, really. You know, we're still the same band that we started out as, which is, you know, we just want to get to the next thing, you know, and can we make a record? That'd be great. And you do that, and then the next thing you know, well, can we make another one? Then you go 40 years later, you're still doing the same thing. You don't think ahead like, you know, let's do 5 albums and let's get this famous and do that. None of that. It's just literally following your nose and where your career takes you. You follow if you want to do that or not, you know.
So is the enjoyment factor still the same as what it was 40 years ago?
Totally. Yeah. We still love playing music. That's why we're here, you know. The whole thing with COVID has been really weird because this is the longest period of my life of not playing, you know, a lot of shows. And we managed to get a few shows in during the last 3 years, but it's been, you know, pretty strange. And, you know, I've realised that it's a part of my psyche is kind of like a little bit, you know, like locked in the dungeon or something, you know. It's like part of me can't express itself, you know, and it's pretty weird.
It would be.
Yeah. Like it's just like I'm kind of, you know, yeah, slightly suppressed or something.
Discombobulated is the word, mate.
Discombobulated. You know, I've made some bad metaphors in the past. I talked about it, like having, you know, one hand tied behind your back or something, and some people got offended, you know, the people with disabilities. I don't mean to just, you know, cast any aspersions about that. But what I'm trying to explain is that it is something weird that you take for granted as a part of me that I express myself in that way all the time. To have that taken away and not be able to do that, it is strange just to be kind of like this. Yeah, I feel slightly weird. But at the same time, we did make a record and that was fun, and that, you know, that kept us sane, really. We were very lucky to have that ability to do that.
Yes, yeah. And speaking of COVID, mate, like the tour was initially set for last December before COVID stepped in, and it got shifted to April this year and now to September. So, like, I know it's inevitable and part of life, but how frustrating was that to deal with?
Pretty bad. The last one was the worst because, you know, we were 1 week out from the tour. We'd actually just done our warm-up show, and unfortunately our drummer Nick caught COVID that night at the warm-up show, you know, and it was just a pub up in northern New South Wales. And, you know, it was sort of open air at partly, but it just was enough, you know, someone he spoke to or who knows, you know, however it happened, whether it was on the plane, who knows. But that was just devastating, really, because, you know, and on top of that, there's all this disruption to you know, all the people that work with you, you know, promoter, you know, they're losing all this money and all the things that they rebook. And, you know, we're so lucky with someone like the Dandy Warhols, you know, they stuck with us, you know, and they cleared their schedule so we could do this tour now to pick it up again. It was just incredible. But at that time, it was pretty bleak.
Oh, Pat. So what can we expect from the shows, mate? Like 40 years of material doesn't easily go into 90 minutes.
You're so right, and I don't quite know how to do it. We've been, you know, rehearsing a lot in the last month, and I've sort of had a provisional set list, but it's not right. I mean, obviously, it's going to vary at different gigs. You know, that's the way you do it. You can't do everything every night, so you have to sort of put in bits and pieces. And some people are going to get something that someone else doesn't get. You know, unfortunately, you might miss the ones that want it the most. But you know that, you know, the song went to the wrong person. Because yeah, when you play, you know, we want to play a couple of songs that aren't quite as well known from our back catalogue, but of course we will play the signature songs because they're just, you know, if people feel a little bit, you know, quite rightly that they've been ripped off if they don't hear a certain, you know, some certain songs that are so strongly identified with the band and are the reason that they probably came to the concert because they know those songs. So we're going to chuck those in. But we have other things we want to do as well. And as you say, try and sum up 40 years. We can't do it, but we'll still capture the essence of the 40 years, which is that we are a kick-ass band that has fun on stage and plays some pretty, you know, exciting music. And that can be any part of our career, really. It's always been the same and we're still doing it just as well, I reckon.
Shit, yeah, mate. And you mentioned the Dandy Warhols before, mate. So you're taking them with you for the whole tour and they're from the US, of course. So What choose them to celebrate the milestone with you?
Well, we wanted to have, you know, make it an event, and, you know, having someone like that on the bill, of course, does that. They're a band that we kind of feel, you know, they're appropriate for us because, I mean, they're younger than us, so they you know, different generation in a sense. But their songs have really great choruses, have anthemic songs, and they're, you know, they're a bit of a crowd pleaser, sort of sing along band in a way. And, you know, we feel like we're like that. So I think we go well together.
Mm-hmm. So after 40 years in the Australian music industry, mate, I got one main question for you. And that's how the hell do you still have a smile on your face?
Because I'm in this band. I'm not in another band that I hate, you know. That's, you know, it's, you know, obviously no one gets a free ride. Every career is hard, you know, and the people that stick it out, you know, more power to you, you know. I mean, I don't care what sort of music you're playing. I might not like it, but the fact you're doing it and staying true to your, you know, your what you want to do and managing to stay on your game, good luck to you. But, yeah, the industry itself, there's no great joy to be had there.
Not at all.
I'm not a sort of person that likes to go to industry functions and, you know, hobnob it around with, you know, with people. You know, I like meeting other musicians, but most of the time, you know, we're like ships at night anyway. We always have been. You know, yeah. We're doing our gig and they're doing theirs, and you're really on the same bill. So when you get the chance to do that, that's always fun. But as far as, yeah, the industry goes, I mean, there's some good people that work, you know, behind the scenes, of course. You know, we have some great people working in the record company we're with now, and they're one of the biggest ones, Universal. You'd think, oh, that must be like some anonymous machine that doesn't pay attention to the artists at all. But it's not true. There are people in that company that are very passionate about music, and they're there because they love music so much. And then, you know, they can't perform and play it, but they can sure as hell promote the hell out of it and you know, and try to help create music by making it possible for that music to flourish. Mm. And those people are just as important in many ways as, you know, the various, you know, artists and roadies and people like that literally, you know, make music happen physically every day.
Sure. And over the years, mate, like, you would have seen so many fads and phases of music come and go, but rock has always endured. Why do you think that is?
Look, I mean, I just think it's good music endures. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're a folk musician or a jazz musician or whatever. Yeah, I mean, there are fads that come and go, and you know, if you're out of step with what the latest craze is, you may find it hard going to kind of make a lot of money and get a lot of attention. But if you're delivering, you know, honest, great music and to the best of your ability, you'll find an audience. You know, it may not be the biggest audience in the world, but it'll be a loyal audience and one that will reward you for that, you know, for giving your best effort. So we're lucky. We play, as you say, we play rock, and there's a lot more people like rock than maybe like, you know, I don't know, medieval madrigals or something. But, you know, they probably qualify for grants from the government, which we don't ever get, though. You know, who knows? But, you know, we're just lucky that we're in a bit of a, you know, more of a bigger marketplace. But, you know, it's a pretty competitive one. And, you know, we're just happy that people still notice us and want to come along.
Hmm. As we said before, mate, earlier this year, Hootie Gurus released your first studio album in over 28 years, which also became your highest chart-topping studio ever. So did it feel good to know that people still love your new music, that they don't just love your old stuff?
Totally. I mean, did you say 28 years? I mean,
over 28 years, according to your press release.
No, that was the biggest, the highest chart placing. You're right, yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but, yeah, it took, we had another album like 12 years ago that was a long time between drinks for us, and we really, you know, we're dragging the chain. You know, I'll be honest, you know, there were things going on in the band that made it impossible to go into the studio again. I mean, our drummer, for one thing, Mark Kingsmill, after, you know, being with us since our second album back in 1985. I mean, he actually joined the band in 84. But, you know, he's been with us that long. He finally wanted to retire. He'd had enough of the musical life and touring and all that. And, you know, good luck to him. But it took us a while to kind of, like, you know, go through that process because we didn't want him to go, and he wasn't quite ready to go, but at the same time, he didn't want to stay. It was just a very long-winded thing. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he did leave, you know, after coming back again and then going again. And then we had to decide, look, are we serious about continuing, or do we, you know, should we just knock it on the head right now because, you know, Mark's gone and that's it, you know? But we, the other three of us decided, you know, we still have music we want to make and, you know, some new songs we would like to record. We didn't have the songs yet, but we knew that we felt like we should, you know, we just want to, you know, keep creating and be, you know, as musical as we, you know, feel in ourselves. You know, we want to be, we're passionate about music. We want to make music, and that includes new music. So we decided, you know, damn it, let's get a new drummer and make, you know, and start a new recipe, you know, because you can't keep the old one going when he's not there. You know, Mark's not there. Major part of our feeling in the band was gone. But we got a new thing going with Nick that I think shows a new album. You know, it's just as, you know, engaged and you know, it feels really fresh to me. You know, yeah. It's not like, you know, going through the motions or anything like that. So that's, you know, whether that's because of Nick or just because of, you know, the fact that we, you know, we've always sounded, you know, like that. We make a record anyway, but certainly nothing's suffered. You know, we've gone from strength to strength, I think.
Yeah. Well, I do stand corrected there too. I've just brought up the press release and it's 12 years. First studio album in 12 years.
Yeah, first studio album in 12 years. That's right. Yeah, because Mark didn't want to do an album. He wanted to wrap it up, and he was like, because he knew as soon as we do a new album, we're going to be saying, come on, we've got to get the album tour. We've got to go do this, do that. And he was like, he was trying to do less of that. So that just became a bit of a tension. But at the same time, we didn't want him to go. So we were just kind of waiting it out to see if things changed. And eventually things did change, but not exactly what we imagined.
So I'm not putting you guys in the grave just yet, but 40 years is a long time. So you're on the bad side of your career, I guess, or the downward side.
Well, definitely. I know we're coming to the declining. No, we're coming to the last days. There's no doubt. We're not going to be doing this in 20, 30, 40 more years, obviously.
That'd be a realist.
You know, totally. And, you know, it all comes down to whether we can play to the level of what we demand of ourselves. If we start to feel like we're compromising what we want to hear, what, you know, what we want to project, we just won't do it. Yeah. We'll stop.
So when that day does happen, mate, and may it long be in the future, but what do you hope to leave as Hoodoo Guru's musical legacy?
That's a hard one. Obviously some great memories for a lot of people that saw us. And, you know, the songs have already shown signs of having a bit of longevity. We're very happy about that. You know, songs even from our first album are still very much loved and you know, get casual spins on, you know, radio. And so we're not feeling like people are sort of, you know, wanting to over, you know, brush it, write us out of the history books or whatever, or, you know, over, you know, dismiss us already. You know, we're feeling pretty much a part of the culture and of the musical scene. And I think we've made a name for ourselves and a place that we've earned. So that's as good as I guess we can ask for. I mean, more than that, what is there? You know, there's always going to be a need for new music, and, you know, whether that's from us or from other people around us or the people after us, you know, but there's, you know, there's still always going to be people are going to want to know where this music came from, what was before it, what led to it, you know, and hopefully we're one of those stepping stones that people are going to identify as being important.
Well, I reckon you're important, mate, so who gives a shit what anyone else says?
Well, they're not here right now, that's all I know.
That's right here right now, they're not. All right, Dave, thanks very much for your time today, mate. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I should be coming along next Tuesday in Brisbane, so
look forward to it, mate.
See you later, brother.
Thanks, Chris. Cheers.
Take care, Dave.
Bye.